Okay.
Alrighty, it is 6 o'clock. We will go ahead and call the Monday, March 6th monthly business meeting to order. First, we have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next we have our invocation by Pastor Stanford Ritz.
The Fellowsburg Ministerial Association always thank you for allowing us to come and say a prayer before your session. May we bow our heads. Oh, holy and magnificent God, we just thank you. We thank you, God, for the leaders of our community, the mayor, the council, the police chief, and all other leaders. And we ask, God, that your blessings and your unity, God, will be upon us in our community, that we may learn, God, how to be one in you and in each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, next we have our bicentennial honorees. So for those of you that have not been to a meeting yet on the first of the month, this is our bicentennial year, and we are honoring 24 individuals, 12 that are legacy, which means they have passed, and 12 that are community residents that are part of the history of Fellowsburg and help making it a better place. So our legacy honoree is John Disharoon. And around 1894, Mr. Disharoon purchased the mill property and home on Old Denton Road from the widow of John Brown. He renamed the mill to Ottawald Mill after the lake. The old paddle wheels were supplanted with a group of powerful turbines, and once he did that, the farmers could then turn a wagon load of corn into ground in a day as opposed to having to wait to get it done. So with the abundance of power available, Mr. Disharoon hit upon the idea of utilizing some of the electricity and starting to run electricity to homes. So first he did his house, so he created the Ottawald Electric Light, Heat, and Power Company. The plant was capable of furnishing electricity to Fellowsburg and several other towns. So he brought electricity first to his house, and which then became known as Herring Hill, and then that was the first house in Fellowsburg to have electric lights. He didn't have the finances to expand like he wanted to, so he formed a stock company with some other businessmen in Fellowsburg, and that was in 1908. He was then able to extend his electric lines to Hurlock and East New Market, and later furnished electricity to Preston and Secretary. And then in 1915, the Idlewell Mill burned down, and it was never rebuilt. So thanks to Mr. Disharoon, Fellowsburg got electricity. Our next community honoree is Pastor Stanford Ricks. So we asked Pastor Ricks for some information. Pastor Ricks was born in Milford, Delaware, and he has lived in Fellowsburg for 35 years. He is one of 13 children in his family, where his father taught them all to be hard workers. His father and mother taught them they could be successful if they would study and work hard. After high school, he went to the United States Air Force and stayed there for 4 years. And he worked for a year and then went to Salisbury State College for 4 years. He worked a few different jobs and settled at Burris Logistics for 24 years, where he retired in 2019. He also went to Bible College for a year and a half. He became the pastor at his church in 2014. He has a passion for helping people recover from the challenges of life. He was a drug addict for 8 years after college. Jesus changed his life, and he believes that he can change other lives also. He's been a member of the Men for Change organization for 13 or 14 years, and the key to success for the Men for Change is for the minority youth to get them motivated, and the school system is not good with youth that grow up in challenging environments, so they like to help address that issue. His favorite part of being a member of Men for Change is to teach lessons. His lessons are about real life and what it takes to be successful. And I just want to see, he likes to see the spark in their eyes. And he wants the youth to gain confidence in their own ability. What he likes most about volunteering is that he believes that we all should give back to the others the same blessing that God has given to us. And he loves most about our community is the way the community comes together to help, although coming together can be messy at times, he likes when we all come together. He defines success for this program as when they see the youth graduate and years later they're doing well in life. They've developed long-term personal relationships with everybody that has come through the Men for Change organization. He is inspired by his mother and father and all the people that care about our community and our youth and do good work to improve the lives of others. And his mentor was his pastor, because he took a confused man and taught him to love God and love all people. He was his best friend, and he still misses him. He was peaceful, and he taught me to be peaceful. So thank you, Pastor Ricks, for all that you do for the community. We greatly appreciate everything that you do. It is our pleasure to honor you, and so we'll take a quick picture.
You and all of us are.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. And I have to fix this.
Oh, don't worry,
bud.
That's your fault.
I'll get you a new one. Thank you so much. All right, next we have a public comment. If you're here for a public comment, you can step up to the microphone, state your name and address, and your comment.
Sharon McComb, and I am here as proxy for Dame and True Lord at 301 Vesper Avenue, Douglasburg, and he wants me to tell you that he wants something done about the runoff, the drainage ditch that runs down by his property, by his land, that it has severely eroded his land, and he wants a culvert put in. His land back. And I do have a couple names here of someone that you could possibly get in touch with, and that is Claudia Dungan, and she's head of stream restoration for the DNR, and for Brooke Eckert, who secures grants by her company of Underwood Associates. So anything else?
They didn't get back to you. I know, because we had talked at the Historical Society and, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Brooke was to make an appointment with Tom Horton, because he wanted to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not gotten back with me.
Okay.
So my son wanted me to just come and tell you that he wants something done. And Tom, and I'm sure Tom told you that, and I don't know where the money would be, federal or state, but he thought there was money now available for these runoff ditches.
Okay. Do you have the contact information that you can leave with us?
I have Tom's email, and I have Brooke Eckert's email.
Okay. Okay.
And I just
Yep, that would be great. Okay. Or I'll just take a picture of it just so I have.
Well, yeah, I don't know. You probably can't read it. just a note for myself.
Yeah, I can read the email.
And you might have my. I have you in my email.
Yes,
so.
I'll double check. Okay, and we'll try to reach out to them and see if we can get some help, since you guys didn't get any help with them.
They're kind of dragging their feet.
Okay.
And I thought maybe this would spur them along.
Sure, we're happy to reach out to them and see if we can get some help.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yes.
Anyone else? Oh, yes, I did. I did skip the minutes. Thank you. First, we have to do the approval of the minutes. So everyone received the minutes. Are there any additions or corrections?
I do have one. Under Mayor and Council action items, for my particular action item, when we were talking about the ECM dinner, we spoke with Teresa Kuhns, that's K-U-H-N-S. She is the CEO of MML. She is not a state representative.
Okay. Can you spell her last name for me one more time?
Mm-hmm. K-U-H-N-S. But that was it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. After the correction, does somebody want to make a motion to approve the minutes as corrected?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes as corrected.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, next we have the charter election amendments. Larry, do you want to start? Do you want to
So at the meeting last month, you all introduced resolutions, and that was resolution 2023-01, 02, and 03. They would have, among other things, reduced the residency duration required to qualify as a candidate for election from 3 years to one, extend the term of mayor from 2 years to four, postpone this September election to November of this year, establish two districts with one council person in each district, and it would align the elections with the presidential primary election, general election, I take that back, in November. since that time, I think the general consensus now is to rescind and not act on resolution 2023-02 and 2023-03. They have not been advertised for a public hearing yet, and you would proceed with resolution 2023-01, which was previously introduced, which this one is a resolution of the mayor and council of Federalsburg amending Article 1 of the Federalsburg Town Charter to reduce the residency duration required to qualify as a candidate for election from 3 years to one, and to establish a four-year term for the mayor and council. There are two new resolutions for introduction this evening. Resolution 2023-04, a resolution of the mayor and council of Federalsburg amending Article 2 of the Federalsburg Town Charter to change the date of the 2027 election from September 2027 to November 2028, and the 2029 election from September to November 2030. Extending the terms of the council members elected in 2023 and 2025 from 4 years to 5 years, and to establish legislative districts, and extend the term of mayor from 2 years to four. So, like the previous resolution, it extends the term of mayor from 2 years to four. It establishes a two-districting system with two council persons in each district. The first election will be held this September. The people elected to this September term would hold office until November of 2028, so it would be a five-year term instead of the regular four-year, to then align the elections back with the November general election. Similarly, in the 2025 election, those two council people will sit until November of 2030, so they will also have a five-year term to then align with the November election, and thereafter an election will be in November every 2 years. And then
so do you want us to do the motion to introduce that and schedule the public hearing? So
yes.
Does that work?
Yes.
Okay. So at that point, we'll take a motion to introduce resolution number 2023-04 and schedule the public hearing for Monday, April 3rd.
I will make a motion to introduce resolution 2023-04 and schedule the public hearing for Monday, April 3rd.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
And the last resolution, 2023-05, is similar to one you previously introduced. However, the months are different based on this September election remaining the same and then it progressing to November. A resolution of the mayor and council of Federalsburg amending Article 3 of the Federalsburg Town Charter to reduce the residency duration required to qualify as a candidate for election from 3 years to 1 year, and to change the first meeting of the mayor and council from October to December following an election. And this, again, it keeps the first meeting in, let me make sure I have all my months correct here. October, except for after a November election, the first meeting is then in December, and it changes when the mayor and council would receive their payment for election to coincide with the November election.
Okay, so I'll take a motion to introduce resolution number 2023-05 and schedule the public hearing for Monday, April 3rd.
Make a motion we introduce resolution 2023-05 with the public hearing being April, what was that?
3rd.
3rd.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, so that scheduled the public hearings are for those three resolutions for April 3rd. Okay, next we have residential trash collection. Town Manager DeRay.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, the short-term contract that was awarded to Big Time Trash Collection will be up in the spring. Big Time stepped in after the previous awarded contract was defaulted on his obligations in the summer. So it's that time to put out the RFP for solid waste collection and disposal again. The document you've got in front of you is basically the one we put out a year ago. Obviously, dates have changed. The scope of work is also been narrowed to approximately 1,150 pickup points. As you know, Laurel Grove Acres Apartments recently pulled out of residential trash collection by the town. They have dumpsters in there from private hauler. We don't know if that's going to be a trend. The other apartments that have contacted have seemed interested in staying with town collection, but of course that's likely to change. That may change over the term of the contract. Also, there's the proposed development of at least 48 townhouses, which can't say right now if that's going to be on-site dumpsters by a private hauler or if that's going to be residential collection. So that number, that explains a little hash mark next to the town currently has approximately 1,150 residential customers. So we'll leave that as approximately 1,150 for the sake of advertising, knowing that that's probably going to change over the course of the contract. And again, this proposed is a three-year contract with a two-year extension if everyone is happy with that. Typical stuff, evidence of insurance. The insurance coverages are listed there and for what purposes. There's conditions of the employment, how we would put of the contract, rather, how we would address addendas and explanations for this RFP, should there be any questions. The competency of the contractor is a bid item. So are the qualifications of the contractor, compliance with the laws, to ensure that the contractor is compliant with all town, state, federal, local laws. What the term would be, again, this proposes a three-year contract with a one-year renewable, so it at least locks us down for a period of time, and it concludes with a non-collusion affidavit. So it's for review at this point. Staff would like to put it out as soon as possible. I am anticipating that we would get bids on it this year. It's been a little light in the past, but we've got a very good hauling company involved now, and there were some others who expressed interest as well. So, pending further discussion, provide direction to staff.
Do we have any, is there any more discussion?
No, I mean, we need to send it out.
Yeah.
Bid, so I'm there.
All right, I'll go ahead and take a motion that we go ahead and submit the RFP for trash removal, residential trash collection.
Make a motion that we move forward with the RFP for residential trash collection.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have 115-117 North Main Street project bid results. Or not.
So the town received funding from the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development to bring the town home building at 115-117 up to code and make certain interior and exterior repairs. The goal was funding was to support the exercised. The bid was approved in January. We advertised. We had a contract open house on the 14th of February, at which time no one came. We had a deadline for submittals of February 27th at 2 p.m., at which time none were submitted. So current, and of course, when there was no submittals, I contacted the HCD staff. They are willing to extend the sunset on the grant funding, which is June 30th of this year. And they have no requirement now as far as procurement is concerned. They've defaulted and said the town should follow its procurement policies. We've advertised, we've had open house, we've gotten no bidders. So staff's bringing forth two options. The first is tell DHCD they can keep the rest of their funds to the tune of about $93,000 and list the building for sale as is. The other one is to direct manager to contact local contractors to secure a not-to-exceed agreement for services. Brightside, as I did have a conversation with a contractor this afternoon. No commitment, at least the conversation.
So my thought is we try to spend the money and at least fix what we can in the building that was detrimental to it, so we can at least try to get something out of it. I'm concerned about what we would get as the as-is, because there's quite a bit of work to it, so why get back $93,000 when we could at least turn some stuff around to maybe make it a little more palatable or have somebody take interest in it. And then maybe the thought might be that there's quite a bit of work, so maybe have them extend the scope to the end of December just to give us a little breathing room with a contractor to get some of the work done. That's just my thought. How you guys feel?
Yeah,
I agree.
I agree.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, that sounds like a plan. Do you need a motion for that?
No.
To move forward? Okay. Okay. Well, let's. And we have some people that we know that have done some contractor work, so do you just want us, if we know anybody that does that kind of work, to let you know?
Please, sooner
okay.
than later.
Okay.
If anybody's looking for a $93,000 payday to do some masonry, some carpentry, some improvements on the inside, take a look at the electricity, please let me know. And this is money that has to be spent or given back. The funding that we've landed, I believe, in 2018.
Okay.
So we're going on.
That would be nice to move that one along, too. Okay, next we have Marina Park Wetlands Project bid results.
Madam Mayor, members of Council, this is a Department of Natural Resources funded project. It's funded to the tune of $175,497, all of which is grant except for $500, that's the town match. We had an open house site visit on the 15th of February, five firms. Four primes and a sub showed up. We had to extend the period of submitting bids from the 28th until today at 2 o'clock, so that explains why there's no particulars in the staff report of who bid. We had two bidders, both were qualified. We had the bid opening this afternoon at 2 o'clock. The two submittals came in from Environmental Quality Resources, LLC. They were at $205,435.72. We had a submittal from Unity Design Landscape. They came in at $172,974.42. Both have been quickly reviewed by myself. They'll be handed over to the attorney, and then we'll hope to come back ideally by the 20th with a suggestion to award the contract.
Okay. I guess we have a choice.
Two good choices.
What was the name of the first one?
Environmental Quality Resources, LLC, out of Millersville, Maryland.
Okay.
And the other one was Unity Design Landscape. They are out of Churchill, Maryland.
All right. Next, we have Small Business Revolving Fund and Sustainable Communities Updates. Tom Edgerberg.
Madam Mayor, the Council is, this is, by the way, an update on two, the status of two programs. One is the Small Business Development Revolving Loan, which is funded through a community development block grant from the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. This program, over the course of the years, has had its ups and downs. We win some, we lose some. The purpose of the funds in the first place was to set up a revolving loan for small businesses who otherwise were not necessarily able to secure funding for projects elsewhere. So we've had some successes. We've had some less than successes, including a default and a turning over of the collateral, which is the 115-117 North Main Street building. At this point, there's $617,975.68. Sitting in the account. 500 was the initial funding. The other 117 has been accumulated as interest, almost 118 has been accumulated as interest over time. Mayor and Council have expressed questions as to what other options are there for these funds. And the answer is DHCD staff believes that the current community development block grant can be turned over into a general community development block grant, not restricted to small business development, but can that be used for a number of other public works here in town, including facilities, so that would be like parks improvement, capital projects improvements, and things like streets and sidewalks, handicap accessible ramps, etc. So that's what we're working through right now. We don't have a full confirmation from DHCD staff. Of course, the new administration, they're going through a little bit of a period of transition, so we should be hearing soon about the status of potential restructuring of this community development block grant, the small business development, into a general community development block grant for community enhancements of facilities and capital projects. So that's where we are with that. Remember, funds cannot be used for cash or to fund activities and programs. So we can we can build stuff that can't be moved, but we can't fund programs with it, and we cannot convert it to cash to do things like pay off debt.
I have a question before we move on there.
Yeah.
The 617, is that the total that's in that program or just cash on hand in that program?
That's what's in the account. So how we broke that down. What do we got pending? About 21,000?
From one.
From one.
And about 40 from another.
Right.
So that are still owed us.
Right. Mm-hmm. DHCD staff's opinion is it's all available. And if we have one that's paying and we have to do something with one who is not, then we would just go that route according to what we would otherwise, you know.
Well, right. I was just curious about the total more than anything. So now actually there's another 60,000, give or take, out there on top of this total.
I wouldn't spend that 60,000.
I'm not.
Yeah.
My actual next question is going to be, is it possible to keep the program, the 60,000 when it comes in, plus the 117, and convert 500,000 to use on other things, so we still have both options to go forward?
Yeah,
it's not a do away with it all.
No, the newly structured CDBG, we have to go through the same process, which includes a public hearing, a resolution to adopt,
right,
et cetera. So there is that. What you're asking for, you know, there needs to be some consensus on what we're asking for.
Right.
Yeah, and DHCD staff has been good about reminding me anyway that this project, this program statewide, hasn't exactly had the results that they thought it would.
Yeah.
I mean, we shouldn't be funding vehicles. Vehicle purchase is not really small business economic development. So there were some things that we were doing that we really shouldn't have been doing. It's not the end of the world, because there wasn't really a lot of success with this sort of statewide. What they did come to realize is that local governments really don't make the best bankers. But it's a good program. I mean, there are people who aren't going to be eligible at a bank that need an alternative source of funding.
Okay.
In theory, it's a good program. In practice,
it's a good gap filler for people who can get funding but maybe need that X amount to start with, or, you know, to giving them over the hump. But.
Right, and our program is structured that buildings, you know, can be put up as collateral. Well, we see where that got us.
I was going to say, that's not worked out very well.
And that becomes a question of, is it worthwhile if the town then becomes bankers not done well and real estate owners, property owners not necessarily done well with it. So, arguably, there are better uses for $500,000 in your development block grant funding. So that's where we are with that.
Okay.
Great.
The other one is the sustainable community designation. Federal Bird will sunset on August 21st of this year. We were first designated on August 21st, 2013. Renews every 5 years. It's a place-based designation offering comprehensive package of resources that support holistic strategies for community development, revitalization, and sustainability. So I know I've been contacted by DHCD staff on this one about moving forward. There's an application. It's not the most difficult thing in the world. It's got to get done. So what sustainable community designation does is, you know, it also makes the town eligible for certain state funding. So it's important to be a participant in the program. So that's where we are. That's still at this point. Right now, we're less than 6 months off. So it'll get done. I'm pegging 30th of June as the date, but I want to get all this back to them so there's ample time to take a look at it if there's any issues. So that's just presented for informational purposes at this time. Not requesting any action on either of these items.
All right. Any other questions? Okay, next we have fiscal year 2023-2024 budget update.
Madam Mayor, members of council, budget time. So, just the, by way of update, what you've got in your packet is, and of course, the packet's online, so anyone can take a look, our capital projects as well as the police department budget. And as you can see, this, the police department has showed an overall increase over current fiscal year. 11.7%, and that ties to a few things that are by way of unfunded mandates, and some things that are by way of increase in operational costs. So the chief's got his line item budget in there as well as with explanations of what's what relative to operational features, whether it's fuel, training, the mental health services that are required to do. There's also this year police revenue enhancements, which are expected to bring ticket revenue from the school zone video cameras, speed cameras. So that's what we've got. Again, we listed by line item with a narrative as well as whether there's an increase, unchanged, or decrease. You can see a lot of it's unchanged. There are the increases marked in red, and again, some of those just go with the nature of personnel, like health insurance and mental state retirement. We've also paid operational and fleet costs at an increase of $25,000. Again, you never know what about the general maintenance, which we're going to run into from year to year. And then same for on the fuel side, an increase of $10,000 over a current year. Again, you never know what you're going to get with fuel, but the fleet's got to be on the road within reason. So that explains a substantial amount of the increased personnel, and at least vehicles and fuel are pretty much the lion's share of the increases. Again, there are a few things related to training, mental health services, which again is a state requirement, so that's an unfunded mandate that everybody's got to deal with this year. Otherwise, that's where we are with the police budget. If there's any questions about that, I'm happy to entertain them to the best that I can and get contact the chief or perhaps more.
I do have one. $50,000 for fines with the new camera. Is that pass-through money?
No, that's our money.
That's all coming to us. How many people does he planning on stopping on Academy Avenue next year?
Well, it'll be all cameras. So they're running two. They're not just running there, right? So
still two, but to me, I'd like to see his projection because the company that's running them get X amount off the top.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems like an awfully high number that's just setting us up to have a shortfall at the end of the year to be putting $50,000 in for the revenue.
All right, I'll ask them.
That just stands out to me like a high number, because for us to get $50,000, how much is that in total fine once you figure out how much the other company's making off the top of?
Yeah. Well, again, if you ask the residents up there on University and Academy.
I would like to think that after the first month.
It's still there.
Exactly. You people will start learning. Once they see that they're there and they're being used and people are getting tickets, I would like to think that the same pattern of behavior doesn't keep up for the next 11 months. So.
I will ask him.
Thank you.
So do we know how much, since the fuel had gone up, I guess, how much extra were we over because fuel went up so much, you know, this year from last year? I was just curious as to how much we ended up. I mean, at some point they were paying almost $5 a gallon for their gas, so.
I don't off the top of my
Okay, head. I know we took a big hit this past year because gas was so expensive compared to what it was before, so.
Do you have the budget for the actual?
Not
budget. Okay, I'm just curious. All right.
Yeah, budget versus actual for the half year are booked, so that's what we're using to look at.
Okay.
Second thing are the capital projects, and I did receive today George Smith's multi-year capital project projection for water and sewer. That will be included, since, again, too late for the packet. But I knew George was getting it to me. That will be included as a follow-up item. Informational for next meeting. But what have we got by way of capital projects? Well, we're still spending our ARPA money on the water meter project, which should close out this fiscal year. Yeah, I think that's going to drag out until July 1. But street paving. So we do have approximately $850,000 set aside for very specific street paving. And these are, this is famously phase one. All right, Green Ridge Avenue, the 100 block. Green Ridge Avenue, the 200 block. Green Ridge Avenue, the 300 block. And then Park Lane from Central Avenue to Green Ridge. What those unit costs are, and again, they all involve the general conditions and mobilization, asphalt milling, 2-inch base paving, and 1.5-inch surface paving, as well as we're built in 10% contingency. Phase one of Green Ridge is $164,479. Phase two of Green Ridge, which also includes sidewalk, 5-foot sidewalk, is $376,665. I think this is the last page of the packet. Green Ridge 300 block is $174,903. And Park Lane comes in at a spelt $108,108. So that's what we've got out of ARPA. Money in the bank sitting right now that needs to be spent. That's what we're going to spend it on roads. There's also some not complete work to do, but some milling and patching of those seams along Brooklyn and Girardi that are also booked at about $105,000. Not showing here. Because what we got it to spend it was the upside. Phase two, famously phase two, which is at this point an application outstanding for earmarking, which is to say the congressionally directed spending. Friday was the deadline, so the town put in the applications for federal earmarking for the sewer pump stations, $404,303,000, and for the phase two of the street project, which is $1,463,000 to match our $850,000 ARPA. So we'll see if that has any, if that's a convincing argument to our federal representatives and move forward from there. But what the phase two scope of work and cost estimates are is Brooklyn Avenue, which again would be general mobilization and conditions, asphalt milling, a 2-inch base and 1.5-inch surface, along with a 10% contingency, contingency, $390,733. Maple Avenue, 300 block. General conditions, asphalt milling, 2-inch base, 1.5-inch surface, 10% contingency, $231,660. Morris Avenue would be same thing. Asphalt milling, 2-inch base, 1.5-inch surface paving, 10% contingency, $194,981. And then Holt Street, same thing with the 10% contingency, $209,266. So all that totals up to $1,463,000 and some change. So that's not money in the bank, but that's earmarked funds. So our earmarked funds total, that totals $1,439,767. So our total request for earmarking comes for this year, which is federal assistance. The street paving would be community development block grant through Department of Agriculture, so we'll see. And the pump station improvements would come as an 80-20. So out of that $4,303,000, the actual request for earmarking for that is $3,442,400. So our total federal request for funding for those two projects is $4,882,167. What didn't make the list, but is out there pending, is the sludge dewatering. Sludge dewatering came in at about $2.5 million, which was an application submitted to the Maryland Department of Environment for their funding. That was the January 31st submittal cycle. So we won't hear about that till May anyway. So what else is out there? The dam study and scoping project estimated cost $78,000. I've applied for a FEMA grant for $80,000 for that. We won't know about that problem until later this month. And then, of course, the broadband build-out, which is a $2 million project that is zero across because we can't even make the 80-20 match on that. We can get 80-20 match on that. 20% of that is $400,000, which we don't have, and I frankly can't justify right now adding $400,000 more to our debt load. And then ADA sidewalk and curb ramps to the tune of about $250,000. There's a federal program for that, but if we get that community development block grant that's currently the small business revolving loan, if we can get that restructured, that should cover that $250,000 for sidewalks and ADA compliant ramps. So that's where we are with our capital project.
And along with the submission that Town Manager DeRee did for the federal funding, we did get letters of support from all three of our delegates. They sent letters for both of the earmarks, so hopefully that helps move those along for a favorable.
One quick question, Larry. Morris and Maple Avenue, how much was being done?
Maple Avenue is 300 block, and Morris Avenue, I believe, is a flat section with pump station. What is that, 200 block?
Yes.
Okay. I was looking at the prices between them and Holt Street trying to figure out how much you were getting done. So,
you know, the total that I've got for streets, sidewalks, gutters, curbs is about $15 million.
Oh, yeah.
To do everything right all over town, because the places that are without curb, gutter, and sidewalk not only run up to the erosion issues, which are constant, but you can't even get a street sweeper there to do, you know, any kind of decent job. Street sweeper needs a curb to do a decent job. So, you know, it'd be nice if everybody had a sidewalk for the sake of mobility, but it'd be even better if everybody at least had a curb. Water would move and we'd be able to sweep it.
That would probably help with the sand, too, that ends up in the storm drains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we have to worry about.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on that?
We're doing what we can.
Yes. That's true. All right. Next, we have, thank you. Next, we have Mayor and Council action items. Councilman Windsor?
Nothing at this time.
Councilwoman Zolt?
I wanted to acknowledge the fabulous event that we had on Saturday with the bicentennial kickoff and the sturgeons, the digital scavenger hunt. The sturgeons are on display at the Historical Society, which you can see on Saturdays through the month of March if you have not seen them. It was a great job. It was super successful, and I think everybody who attended was very pleased with it. And then the other thing I have is the county, Caroline County commissioners will start their public budget hearings this month. Next week, they are meeting on Tuesday, the 14th, at the Preston Fire Department, where, along with their regular month, regular business meeting, they will be having a hearing on budget requests and the tax differential, and that follows up with a May public meeting, which is in Greensboro, and that meeting is, they talk about different things, capital budgets, constant yield tax. But anyway, I would encourage you to come out on March 14th at 6 p.m. at the federal, the Preston Volunteer Fire Company to be part of that. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Councilman Willoughby, do you have anything you want to add?
Nothing at this time. I'll wait for executive session.
Okay. Councilman Phillips.
I would just like to congratulate the two wrestlers from Colonel Richardson who went to the States this weekend. One of them finished in first place in the state, the first colonel to ever win the state championship. And I'll have to say, I'm sorry, Salita, I don't know what position she finished. I think second, but I'm not positive.
I think it was second.
So we had a first and a second in wrestlers from Colonel, so I just wanted to say congratulations to them.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Deal.
That is awesome. Congratulations to them. That's great. The only thing that I have is I want to second what Councilman Sewell said. We had a Saturday was great. So we did a digital scavenger hunt around town. We had 12 different spots to take pictures that families could take pictures with their phone, post them to Facebook, and then they turned in their sheets for points. And then depending on the number of points that they got, they were entered in for a gift card drawing. So it was great. They had great fun. I talked to the people that were doing it, and I'm like, did you learn anything? Did you have trouble finding stuff? Because we made some things a little trickier, so they actually had to think or phone a friend to figure out where some things were. And they were like, yeah, we had a great time. We learned a few things. It was great getting around town, and we had a beautiful day. The 13 fiberglass sturgeon that were sponsored by businesses, their purpose was to decorate them. They did a phenomenal job. I could not have asked for any better project. It was awesome. It was amazing to see. Everybody stepped up. They did what they needed to do for their fish, and they look great. So as Councilwoman Sewell said, there is something fishy at the museum through April. They put that on their sign out there, which is great. And I am working on a compilation video of all the fish, and we are going to be running a vote on Facebook for people that didn't get to come on Saturday to vote for their favorite fish, for their fan favorite. So that's all I have. And our next bicentennial event is Saturday, May 20th. So the committee is meeting and working hard on planning another great community event for Saturday, May 20th. So that's all I have. If nobody has anything else, we will take a motion to go into executive session for personal and legal advice.
I make a motion to go into executive session for personnel and legal advice.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, everybody, for attending. We appreciate it.